How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. This is a show about pro wrestling, and we are returning after about 5 months or so, maybe more, to our Fever Dreams series, which is basically where we get to fantasy book and have fun with it. We have a random name generator website, and we input various lists of names into that site. Male wrestlers, female managers, gimmick matches, belts, tag teams, so on and so forth. And we've assembled a makeshift card, and we then debate what random names pop up. Now, if this is your first time joining us for this, we do have existing champions because we've been doing this for a while.
Yes.
So our FDW, that's Fever Dream Wrestling, Galaxy Universal Champion. I forget what we call it. But our Galaxy Champion is Bruno Sammartino. And he's been champion for quite a while. Our FDW Women's Champion is Awesome Kong. Our FDW Tag Team Champions are favorite Mega Powers Foundation, which is a combination of the Mega Powers and the York Foundation. Get more into them later. We also have random belts that we sometimes award for matches, and in this case, CM Punk, the straight edge version, is the Smoky Mountain Wrestling U.S. Junior Heavyweight Champion. And
it's a great belt for him to have. It really is.
It is. And so we will get to our card here, and I have assembled, Leonard, a dark match.
Okay.
Just so we understand. So, you know, after we had the manager match the last time we did this where Colonel Robert Parker won, I figured yes. We'd do another manager match. And maybe if we get this going long enough, we'll have like a, you know, like a champion manager at the end of this.
Okay, so the manager championship.
Yeah, well, the name might need work.
All right.
But anywho. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to tell you the title of this one is Swelter Slam. I spent an inordinate amount of time trying to think of the title for this Fever Dreams episode because okay. I want to be heat themed, as everybody knows, most places in the country right now are currently experiencing a heat wave.
It's summer, yep.
Yeah, and so I wanted something to do with that, but I was like, oh, heat wave is too generic. Got to think of something else. I settled on Swelter Slam, so we'll see.
I don't think that's been used, at least as far as I know.
Right. Well, back to our manager match. The names I drew at random are Mr. Fuji versus the Sinister Minister, James Mitchell.
I think you got to go with Fuji. I mean, Fuji was a real wrestler, multiple-time tag team champion with different partners. Mitchell, I don't think, ever wrestled, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
So I would say this is an easy win for Fuji just based on his experience in the ring.
No, I agree. You know, Mr. Fuji was the talent here. Now, James Mitchell might be evil, but Mr. Fuji is just a little bit more devious. And if you're going to count like all the stories we've heard over the years, he was an infamous ribber as well. So
yes.
God only knows what he would do to James Mitchell here. So.
Both guys carry canes to the ring, though. So maybe it's a cane match.
I like it. A generic cane match, not a Singapore cane.
No, not a Singapore cane, just a cane, like a walking cane.
A walking cane match. I like that. All right. So, Mr. Fuji, our dark match here. The next match is one I've assembled, an intergender tag match, and I really love the names that came up here.
All right.
So, here we go, Leonard. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
All right, the first maybe not the first one we've done, but our intergender tag match opening Swelter Slam is the WCW version of Rick Rude,
okay,
teaming with the Fabulous Moolah.
That's a good team. That's a good team.
Against Shawn Michaels, the no hair version.
Okay. Oh.
And AJ Lee.
Oh, this. I got to go Rude and Moolah. I mean, AJ Lee is built like a 12-year-old. And And, you know,
I hope move, even we're talk- isn't listening to this.
Even if we're talking like mid-80s, 60-year-old Moolah, I still think she turns AJ Lee into a pretzel. And we're talking WCW Rude was still great. Great yes. shape, having great matches until he got injured. And then no hair Shawn Michaels is like the end of the line.
Yes.
Like, that's I'm trying to, the only thing I can think of with no hair was when him and Triple H went to Saudi Arabia and fought the Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, that's the only match, and that match was terrible, even to the people involved. So
yeah, so I think this is an easy win for who I assume would be the heels in this one.
I'll tell you this, you know, now we just said the Fabulous Moolah. We didn't specify a version. So one, when that happens, we just assume it's the peak version of that yes. character. But even so, I think AJ Lee is scrappy enough that she would give Moolah a run for her money. Those, to me, that's more even than we might give it credit for.
Okay, you may think that I do not. I've never liked AJ Lee. I know that there's a lot of people who do love her, and I never got the love. I never thought she was that great in the ring. I never thought she was that attractive. There's nothing about her that I ever really enjoyed. And yes, if CM Punk is listening, sorry. If you know she's your cup of tea, that's great, man. She ain't mine.
Well, I hope she's his cup of tea by this point.
Yes.
Well, so, you know, I think that AJ Lee was a bright spot during a time when there was really not a lot of focus on the women aside from their looks. Like, she was somebody who at least tried to have solid in-ring work. You know, I agree if you compare her to some of the people today, you know, I don't like it. Let's say right now she came back to WWE. Mm-hmm. She even joined AEW in a fantasy world. I think that her shortcomings would be apparent right away. So I think she was an okay talent during a time when there was like no good talent. Or mm-hmm. Anyway, this will come down to Rick Rude against Shawn Michaels. And this particular version of Shawn Michaels, I think Rick Rude owns. And you know what? I think Rick Rude would have the upper hand against almost every version of Shawn Michaels, if I'm being honest. Because I think Rick Rude is that good. So
he is, especially at this point, because when he moved to WCW, he was allowed to have different type of matches. You know? And he had the program with Flair over the big gold belt and different things. So yeah, I guess we're going Rude and Moolah on this one.
All right. Maybe we'll do another intergender tag match sometime down the road.
Sure.
So next I'm going to throw it to Leonard because we are going to do the FDW Women's Championship.
All right. Let me get to that one in my notes. So this was a match we already had established from the last show. The Awesome Kong, who is the champion, is going to be defending against Jade Cargill. And this is going to have a run-in. And when we have a run-in, we usually decide who we think that person would help. So the run-in here is Piper Niven.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, Awesome Kong is already a burly lady, right? You know, she is a muscular, you know, imposing force. So I could see, in my head, I see Awesome Kong enlisting Piper Niven as, like, an assistant or like a protege of some sort, and you know, maybe wanting them to be a tag team or something down the road, or even tagging in certain matches here and there. I see her teaming with Awesome Kong before Jade Cargill had a faction in AEW, but you know, she was kind of the sole leader, and everybody was kind of her minion type thing. I don't see Piper Niven in a role like that necessarily. So I see this helping Awesome Kong, who would, I think, win anyway. But
Yeah. Well, you know, you kind of tap danced around it, but those awesome Kong and Piper Niven are plus size grapplers. They are heavyweights for the female division.
Yeah.
And I think your logic on that would be sound, that these are sisters in a way, you know, who would unite. I think that makes more sense than Niven being with Cargill, unless it wasn't, as you said, like a minion capacity, which I don't really see here. So I like that idea of that you came up with. And I do agree that I think Kong would win here anyway. Cargill has a huge ceiling, I think, still. I think she's got a great look. I think she's got talent. I think since she's joined WWE, she seems to be more focused. And again, you know, not to get into a debate, but AEW, it seemed like she was doing what she was doing. And here it seems like she's got more people kind of trying to push her to get better and to improve in the ring and such forth. So, but still, in a couple of years, yeah, she's like, this might be an easy decision the other way. But definitely right now, I agree with you that Kong would win here, especially with the Niven help.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we see her now. I think last I checked, Jade Cargill is still kind of teaming with Bianca Belair or friends with Bianca Belair. Yeah, it's different approaches, certainly. She had the kind of the Goldberg thing going in AEW, and, you know, they were, you know, doing well with that to the point where WWE wanted her. So now they're putting her in the mix as another person. And, you know, like you said, she has a ladder to climb, and, you know, hopefully she does that. So we'll see what the future holds for, you know, certainly different styles of working. And, you know, we know that the promo work and all that stuff is totally different in WWE than it is AEW. All right. Awesome Kong remains our champion. Our next match is a match that was already set, and that is for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling U.S. Junior Heavyweight Championship. Sami Zayn, who won another match in our last episode, got the right to face the straight edge version of CM Punk. This is a, no pun intended, straight up match.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard, I'm going to throw it to you. Who do you think comes out on top here?
I think this is a really good match. And has Punk versus Zayn ever happened anywhere? I don't think they've ever really, except for right now, I don't know if they've ever been in the same sphere at the same time. I don't think so. You know, Zayn came.
Well, while you're debating your thoughts, I'll try and find that out.
Yes, I doubt that has happened. But I think this is a really good match. I think these are guys who match up very well, size-wise, speed-wise, kind of what they like to do in the ring, their movesets. I think it's a really good matchup. And this is a really tough call for me. I can see this going either way, but I'm leaning toward Punk because the straight edge version of Punk, is what exact era is this? Is this the early Ring of Honor version of him?
Of CM Punk?
Yeah.
No, this would be the straight edge version. I think when I put this down, this would be the straight edge version where he had a faction that
in WWE he had Serena Deeb with him and some other people. That is okay. I was thinking it was maybe that version, but also I was thinking maybe it was the early version. That also helps me because I would say that is a prime CM Punk as far as not only his in-ring work but his character work and what he was doing overall at this time. And Sammy's great, and Sammy's a guy that I think every time I think he's hit his peak, he seems to go one more step. Now, again, I'm not watching it regularly, so I'm not quite sure what's going on right now with him. But you could sway me the other way if you want to, but I'm leaning toward CM Punk just because this is one of the best versions of one of the best guys out there.
And for the record, this match never happened.
Okay.
But apparently... Now, I didn't read the article as we're recording here, but apparently he and CM Punk in the past have had issues for whatever reason, but they buried the hatchet recently. So there is history there of some sort. But they have not had a match. I would imagine that that's a match that might happen if both guys can stay healthy. So
yeah, even at this point, with the injuries they've all had in the age, I think that's still a good match. I think they're both smart enough to work around what they can and can't do.
Yeah. I would agree with you. You know, right now they're doing the, you know, well, I should say before he won the IC championship, they did the Sami Zayn as the underdog guy. And, you know, it's a shame that I didn't specify what version of Sami Zayn this is. So you just kind of have to go with like the general version of Sami Zayn in this case, because he didn't hit that top world champion mark yet. So I would agree that CM Punk would have a slight advantage in this match, to the point where he would probably retain, since it is straight up match. So CM Punk also retains, and our next match is one I'm going to throw to Leonard. It is the lifeguard match. Leonard, why don't you explain what the lifeguard match is?
So I believe it was Bash at the Beach 95, where WCW had a lifeguard match. This is when they had the ring on the beach and they filmed part of the Baywatch episode. So it was Randy Savage versus Ric Flair. And it's basically a lumberjack match, but they're calling the lumberjacks the lifeguards. So being that we're trying to do some summary things, I thought of bringing back the lifeguard match. And I originally told Chad I was going to have 10 lifeguards. I went to 15 because 10 didn't seem enough and 20 felt like too much. So in the match itself, the two competitors are John Moxley versus Bad News Barrett.
All right.
So that's the, and then here's all the lifeguards. Interesting list of lifeguards here. We have Ezekiel Jackson, Zack Ryder, The Patriot, Alex Shelley, The Genius Lanny Poffo, Canadian heel Bret Hart, consider The Patriot is also at ringside, Blackjack Mulligan, Tyson Tomko, Neville, Wolfgang, heel Johnny Gargano, Juventud Guerrero, Lord Steven Regal, Robert Roode, and Tony Mameluke.
Okay.
So I think, so to throw it to you, the first thing I think you have to consider here is how would the Lumberjacks impact the match, if they would?
Well, there's more heels there than there are faces. And
I noticed that. There's more natural heels, and there's a lot of big guys, too.
Yes, I mean, so if you're looking at the match, you said, no, is this, you said Bad News Barrett or Wade Barrett on his own?
Bad News Barrett was the exact name that came up. Bad so this would Barrett. Be the Bad News version of okay. Barrett.
So even though there's more heels here, and Bad News Barrett is a heel, obviously, John Moxley is on another level talent-wise, in my opinion. So I would absolutely go with him here. I don't think it would be as easy because of the lifeguards / lumberjacks. And, you know, I think based on the fact that there are a lot of heels there, it would make it more difficult of a win. But I definitely think that in terms of getting, you know, getting rough and down and dirty, I definitely think that also suits Moxley. So I definitely think he would be able to scratch out a win no matter how tough it would be to overcome the lumberjack.
Yeah, a lot of times with lumberjack or lifeguard matches, as we're calling this one, lifeguard match, is the idea is that the face has the cards stacked against him, the deck stacked against him, I should say. Because most, it's a lot of the bad guys are at the ringside, the heels are at ringside. So you've got him. And I think Moxley at times has played the underdog well, or the scrappy blue collar fighting from underneath guy. So I think this was where he would be. And Barrett, a lot of times, he comes off as being pompous, arrogant. You know, I'm smarter than you. I'm better than you. So I think that's a classic dynamic there. And built like that, Barrett seems to have the upper hand. Barrett's got the most guys on his side on the outside. That builds for the underdog to win against the odds. So I would agree with you that Moxley would take it in that framework. And I would also be interesting in thinking, well, what might happen on the outside with some of these guys? Because you got to think the Patriot and Canadian heel Bret Hart are going to clash
right
at some point. out there. You've also got and Regal being out there, I think, is interesting.
You said Tyson Tomko and Tony Mameluke, right?
Yes, Tyson Tomko.
That's going to main event any arena in the world, right?
Right, right. Blackjack Mulligan's out there. I mean, there's some neat names.
Blackjack Mulligan and Alex Shelley. That's another dream match.
Yes, a lot of people here. I mean, I kind of want to see the Genius and Juventud.
Honestly, I think that match would be better than any of us think.
Like, that would. If you go back and you watch some like Lanny Poffo stuff, he was doing stuff nobody else was doing at the time. He was doing like these step up Inzaghiris.
Yeah, they
not Inzaghiris. He was doing step up Inzaghiris. He was doing step up moonsaults. He was doing springboard stuff like in the mid 80s.
I still say on a previous episode, I think we did this, I forget how. I still say my brother versus brother, Savage versus Lanny Poffo match. I still say that feud would have been amazing had it ever actually happened. But
it would have been. I think they did wrestle a little bit in their dad's outlaw territory back in the day. But, you know, that footage probably doesn't exist. But imagine like, you know, Genius era Lanny against, you know, the face Macho when he was champ. Or even if it was the heel IC champ version of Randy when Lanny was throwing the frisbees out.
Again, he was
more of a jobber at that point, but again, the talent was there. So, yeah, I mean, if you're talking any brothers versus brother matchups that we haven't seen, again, happened, we should look to see if there's footage. I don't know. If that match is out there, I'll look to see if we can find it. We'll throw that in. We'll make that a match review. But
I forget if it was you, Leonard, or if it was, you know, a friend of the show, Eric, I was talking to, where we were talking about the Usos match from WrestleMania, and I was talking about how disappointed I was. And I forget if it was you.
I believe we talked about that when we did our WrestleMania review, that you were very disappointed in how that came across.
Yeah, and I think somebody told me that, like, well, you know, I wasn't surprised by that because it's two brothers, and things are always a little bit weirder when you have two actual relatives having a match with each other in the ring. Like, it doesn't always become that classic that you hope it would. Mm-hmm. Like, there are exceptions. But
Owen versus Brett comes to mind, of course, on that.
Yeah.
Now, when the Hardys wrestled, those were never good.
What I mean. So, but I think maybe this the Poffos would be the exception to.
Yes, I think that would be like an Owen Brett situation where they're both just so committed and, you know, have probably sparred with each other so much that, you know, this is just the thing we're doing.
All right. Our next match is for the FDW Tag Team Championship, the Mega Powers Foundation of Terrence Bollea and Randall Poffo. They will be facing in a triple threat match Edge and Christian and Owen Hart and the British Bulldog.
Ooh, this is just a straight up triple threat?
Straight up triple threat match.
Okay. Wow. That's good. I actually kind of like that. Edge and Christian kind of feel like the outliers here to me because they are a different style and kind of a different era than the guys that we have. Owen and Bulldog, I think, is very underrated because that's the type of team I like where you have, like, the smaller, faster guy and you have the bigger power dude. I think that is a really nice team to go up against the Mega Powers Foundation. I don't know if that is a team strong enough to win. You can sway me if you want to. But I think just the Mega Powers Foundation is such an amazing tag team because I think we took what was already like a great concept that we all remember from our childhood, and by turning them heels and like the idea of them with the slick back hair and the suits and stuff, it just makes it better. It's just even that much better. So I'd be hard-pressed to put anyone over them. But if you want to argue either of the other teams, go for it. But I do think this would be a really good match.
Yeah, I do. I think so as well. I think this would be a really fun triple threat match with different styles here. If this were a gimmick match, if this were like a ladder match or a TLC or something,
yeah,
my answer would be different. You know, because, you know, Savage and Hogan are not as used to gimmick matches. But because this is a straight up triple threat, I think that the Mega Powers Foundation are still the top here. I find it would be hard to beat them. I think that Edge and Christian would be kind of a thorn in the side of anyone. I can't point to them really like teaming up against just the champions or just, you know, Owen Hart and Bulldog. I do think British Bulldog versus Hogan would be an interesting matchup. I wonder if that's happened.
I'm going to say probably not, because Bulldog was in a face tag team, you know, throughout the 80s. And then they were kind of past each other in the 90s, you know.
Right.
They came back and forth, you know. Bulldog was in WCW when Hogan was still in WWF, and Hogan came over and Bulldog went back. And then, so I don't know. It would be odd. It's interesting to think these guys that have been, say, in the same company for so long never wrestled, because they were a face the whole time, or one guy was in a tag team the whole time type of thing.
Yeah.
Especially back in the 80s, you didn't cross the streams, as it were.
I'm sure that Savage and Owen Hart, whether it was him as the Blue Blazer or not, I'm sure that match happened at some point.
That would be a good match too, especially at that period, yeah.
So, yeah, I see the Mega Powers Foundation winning here. And, you know, the case could be made that, you know, maybe these teams see each other again in a rematch with gimmick attached.
Yeah, I would not be against that. We could even say maybe it was cheating by the Mega Powers, or maybe it ends in a schmoz of some sort and would come back with the gimmick.
Maybe Elizabeth Hewlett uses the computer.
Yes, just smacks one of them.
All right. Number 7, Leonard, is the tag team match you wanted to assemble with singles guys, not established teams.
Yeah. When we first started doing this, we would make tag teams out of anybody, and then we developed a tag list. So just thinking of, oh, what's another match we can throw in? I was like, oh, you know, I kind of like to do two random singles guys. So one of these teams I really like, first team, it's Darby Allin and Scott Steiner.
Okay.
I think I would call them Freaks and Peaks.
I like it.
That's their tag name. The other team, I don't know. You have to come up with a tag name for here. So it's the Demon version of Finn Balor with the Colorado Kid, Mike Rapata.
Who in the hell is that?
He was on the list. I had to look him up to see who he was.
I don't know how that person ended up on the list. I have no idea who he is.
I don't remember putting him on the list. He's a real dude. He's a real guy.
Colorado Demons. I don't know. Gosh, I mean, just based on the fact that nobody really knows who the one guy is, you kind of have to go with Steiner and Darby Allin here. I see that being a weird but effective tag team.
Yeah, and this is Scott Steiner. It's not Big Papa Pump. So this is like regular version Scott Steiner, who at one point was like one of the best wrestlers in the world. Really was. And, you know, Darby, I think, has got potential. And I think that's an oddball pairing that works, because you have, at this point, a Scott Steiner that's going to do all the power stuff, all the technical stuff. And you got the Darby Allin, who's going to do, like, all the flippy, flying, high-energy kind of stuff. So, again, you have a tag team here with these guys that, like I was saying with Bulldog and Owen, it's that mix of two different talents and how they mesh is really cool. So definitely Mike Rapata jobs to either of the other guys. But I really like the Allin Steiner team. I thought that was creative.
Freaks and Peaks. I like that. All right. The next match is one that I assembled. It is a fatal four-way, but it is what I'm calling a hardcore swimming pool match.
Okay, so it's in an empty swimming pool.
So, no.
Okay.
The pool has water in it, but there's weapons surrounding the pool.
All right. Okay.
In order to win, it's similar to Texas deathmatch rules. You need to pin for the count of three, and then you need to hold your opponent underwater for 10 seconds.
But they can fight back and get out of the water, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, that's okay. How they break the count if they come
okay,
up.
Okay, they get out of the water. Gotcha. Love it.
So you just got, you can't kill them, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So in a previous episode, we had the NWA version of Ric Flair win another match. So it's going to be Ric Flair NWA version versus WWF version of Mick Foley. Not Jack, not Mick Foley.
Yes.
Versus, I don't know why I put this on here. I don't know what it, I kind of know what it means, but not really. John Cena, the soldier babyface version.
Okay, so that would, no, I know what you mean by that. That would be when he did the Marine.
I guess, like when
when he did the Marine, he was like pretending he was in the military. He would come out and salute and have the dog tags. I know exactly the version you mean. Yes.
Okay, good. Against Big Van Vader, the Japan version.
Oh, Jesus.
So this would be an amazing fatal four-way.
Yes.
But
even with especially with the stipulations here, when you first said Mick Foley, even though this is like broken down into the road Mick Foley, the fact that it's a hardcore pool match made me lean toward him a little bit.
Until
we got the Japanese Vader, who is just the biggest mother effer, ever. So stiff. He could move so much to that point. Like, if you thought he could still move when he's in WCW, he was even faster if you watched anything from Japan. And his agility, amazing. And so you take that and you allow him to use weapons, and the fact that he has to physically hold someone underwater.
I'm sorry, I mean, just want to see a Vader splash into the pool to, like,
end. Yes. Like off a lifeguard chair into the pool onto a guy. That's what's going to happen. So Vader is, I think, head and shoulders above. Now, he probably gets the win, I would say, on babyface Cena. Because this is, I wouldn't say a down point of Cena, but it was sort of a transitional point for Cena. It wasn't quite the point where everybody hated him, but it was kind of after the Thuganomics era.
Right.
And of course, NWA Flair, you can never count out. Right. This is not a match that caters to his style or his strengths in any way.
Think about how great it would be to see Ric Flair put the figure four like on the diving board or something.
The ring post figure four, but it's the diving board figure four through the lifeguard chair, whatever. That is great. Yeah. I think because initially when you said this, I was thinking stuff like beach balls and a comedy thing.
Right.
But I think you could actually do this as a serious hardcore match.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Guys.
So I definitely go with Vader over Cena. And you say Flair saves face by doing that. And Foley is probably going to take some stupid, crazy bumps. And this is going to be just maybe not a technically good match, but entertaining without question.
Absolutely. A good precursor to our main event coming up.
Yes.
And yeah, I agree with you. I think Vader is the standout here because it is this version of Vader. If this were a different version of Foley, the argument might be a little bit different. But this version of Vader was probably the best, you know, unless you count like early WCW. He was, peak kind of physical condition at this point. John Cena.
Put a pin in Vader because I want him to come back and get a title shot.
Absolutely.
I think he's earned a title shot.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get to our main event. FTW Galaxy Championship. Bruno Sammartino is our champion versus a guy who won in a previous episode, the Iron Sheik. But we will have gimmick attached and managers. Leonard, take it away.
Yes, just to give it a little more juice, because I think straight up, I think we would both go with Sammartino. This is prime Sammartino, prime Sheik. The stips might, everything else here might influence a little bit. So the managers are perfect. So Bruno has Miss Elizabeth.
Ooh.
And the Iron Sheik has Sonny.
Okay.
And the stipulation is your favorite stipulation of all time. It is loser leaves town.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think whoever loses, we have to take them off the list. They don't get another bout. They're done.
I would agree with that. Unfortunately, I don't think it looks good for the Iron Sheik. Now, if you're putting the managers involved, Sonny obviously would get the upper hand over Miss Elizabeth. But the way I see it playing in my head is Sonny keeps messing with Miss Elizabeth, or Sonny keeps trying to get involved. And ultimately, at the end of the match, Elizabeth is seeing enough. And then she and Sonny get into it in some way. The crowd pops because Elizabeth is showing physicality. That didn't happen.
No. So, when she was in WCW, it did, when Russo was there. But I think I told you this before. At one point, I was running a fantasy league where it was all women. And it was like you had to have actually wrestled to wrestle in a match. So I was having to look up all these women to see if they ever wrestled. And like Elizabeth had two matches under Russo in WCW. Right.
Yeah, that's if anybody's watched Who Killed WCW, it was an interesting 4-part series. I think though you got to send the fans home happy here. The Iron Sheik doesn't have quite enough to give himself the win here. So I see Bruno retaining, Leonard.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, I was hoping that maybe the gimmick and the managers would make this a little closer. But yeah, I mean, Prime San Martino versus Prime Sheik, both former WWF champions. I would be pretty sure that match happened at some point. But yeah, San Martino is definitely the class here and continues on with the title.
All right, well, we are running short on time here, and all of our champions have retained.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens next. I think we're going to keep the manager thing going. Let us know what you thought of our picks here, or if there's matches that you would like to see, we would gladly take suggestions and debate them here on the show. Check out our other episode, Segment Surgery, Random Match Reviews, Stupid Questions. We're also available wherever you listen to podcasts. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.